Lee Martin.
And today we've got another exclusive interview with John Howard in which he's tantalisingly promised to reveal the first, third and 28th letters of one of his party's new policies. Can't wait. We'll also find out what Hugh Hefner wants done with his body after his death, premiere the terrifying new Stephen King miniseries, and check out the latest schoolyard antics of that mischievous Prince Harry. We've got Radio Gladiators, and joining us live once again, that knockabout bloke Paul Hester, with yet another thrilling episode of The Shed Report. It's all coming up on the show that even Carmen Lawrence can recall in horrifying detail.
Martin Miller.
Welcome to another Martin Malloy Australia with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, you've doubtless read about him, the wild comic whose new love is, well, Kylie Minogue. I think we've all
I was going to break that myself.
Later on the show, we'll get to that, but right now, get yourself in comfy position, people. It's time for Mick Malloy's Celebrity Corner.
Thank you, one and all, and welcome once again to Mick's Celebrity Corner. Big hand for Gracie on piano. Lovely. Looking very Victor Borgerish today, Gracie. Let's get down to it. Former New South Wales Premier Nick Greiner yesterday criticised the Federal Liberal Party for trying to win government without producing policies. He branded the tactic as gutless, but said it was good politics and would probably make John Howard a shoo-in at the next election. To answer these claims, we've got the opposition leader on the line now. John Howard, are you there?
I might be, but then again, I might not be. I'm a man of mystery, Mick. I'm not giving anything away.
Is that right?
I'm an enigma, wrapped in a riddle.
Mr. Howard, could we...
No, Mick. Even my name is now cloaked in mystery. I'm now the minister formerly known as John Howard.
Right, so what do we call you? Symbol?
No. From this day on, I answer only to the name of Zorro.
Zorro.
Zorro, a shadowy figure flitting from upper house to lower house as if transported on wings of gossamer, swore never to reveal his policy.
What, you'll never reveal them?
Go on, try and get them out of me. Others have and failed. That Laurie Oakes, he had me on the set of his Sunday show. He tried every trick in the book. He even put the Reservoir Dogs music on and did that little dance. It wasn't a pretty sight.
Yes, I can imagine.
You were right, Mick. He's had the breast implant.
Right. Now, Mr. Howard... Sorry, Zorro.
Lord of the unknown.
Whatever. Is this approach a deliberate attempt to avoid what happened to John Hewson at the last election with the GST? I mean, are you going to avoid releasing any kind of policy statement altogether?
We'll release a statement, Mick, but it'll be mysterious, elusive. Just a blank piece of paper, like the White Album.
A blank piece of paper?
It's that bold, Mick. It's that simple.
Right.
It'll be high-quality paper, mind you, not that pissy stuff the ALP use. Cartridge paper, that textured stuff.
So you're not going to tell anyone anything?
Yeah. It's kind of sexy, don't you think? You know, it's not what's revealed, it's what's not revealed.
I see.
Getting the juices flowing, is it, Mick?
Well,
hey.
Right. Hey? Yeah, it's working. So let me get this right. The less you say, the more chance you have of winning the election.
That's right, Mick. Throughout the campaign, I'm not going to say anything. I'll go on Ray Martin, but I'll play coy, cagey, hard to get. I'll say nothing, I'll do nothing, and come the election day, I'll piss it in. You wait and see.
So what you're offering the Australian public is...
Nothing. Sweet bugger all.
Well, Zorro, thanks for your time.
The Liberal Party, let us do nothing for you.
This...
Royal news, Mick. I believe there's a few problems with the young Prince Harry. Would you care to elaborate?
Yeah, Prince Harry's got himself in a bit of trouble with some of his school chums.
Yeah,
and I'm reading from an article, and it's very interesting. It was about a game of cricket he was playing at school, because that's the game he plays, cricket rather than rugby, because his mum doesn't want him playing against anyone she could potentially be dating.
Conflict of interest.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm ready for that. Listen to this. When Prince Harry was caught sucking his thumb on the cricket pitch recently, the reaction was instant and unpleasant. He became the butt of jokes and peer scorn. The 10-year-old Royal had been so busy sucking his thumb that he missed both the ball and a chance to beat Big Brother William's side. Annoyed teammates immediately coined a new nickname for Harry, Thumbelina. I'm thinking, yeah, kids can be cruel, can't they? Thumbelina, that's a beauty. They would have been very happy with that. They would have gone, oh, nicely done. Well done. Give yourself a pat in the back.
I believe Uday Hussein's schoolmates call him Thumbelina.
Absolutely.
But he's got a unique way of getting back at them, so that doesn't happen anymore.
You're so right, Timo. You're so right. But it got me thinking, if Harry was ever to be crowned King of England, he'd be Thumbelina the first, wouldn't he? Do you think?
I think so.
I can't remember too many other Thumbelinas. I'll have a guess and say he wasn't the one with eight wives. You know what I mean? Imagine that. If royal titles were handed out according to the nicknames kids gave them at school. You know, I'd like to see that at a coronation. Arise, King Poopy Pants. Oh, look, here comes King Fatty Boombar the Third, and he's with Queen Farty Breath. And have you met the heir to the throne, Prince Pixie's Nose and Eats It? Anyway, just a thought to go on with. But listen, the article goes on. Leading family psychologist Dr. John Irvine says, thumb-sucking at Harry's age certainly suggests that he's a little bit anxious or uptight and that he hasn't been taught more mature and appropriate ways to deal with his feelings. Now, Tone, who's he going to learn that from? The woman in the next room with a garden hose up the poop chute encouraging the English rugby captain to siphon like there's no tomorrow? I mean, his mum's a nut. The old man's too busy pursuing his interest in becoming a tampon. He knows he's from the same gene pool as Prince Edward. Give the guy a break. Let him suck his thumb. Oh, Prince Edward, folks. Now there's your Thumbelina.
G'day, Steve Bedwell.
Royal news, Mick. I believe there's a few problems with the young Prince Harry. Would you care to elaborate?
Yeah, Prince Harry's got himself in a bit of trouble with some of his school chums.
Yeah,
and I'm reading from an article, and it's very interesting. It was about a game of cricket he was playing at school, because that's the game he plays, cricket rather than rugby, because his mum doesn't want him playing against anyone she could potentially be dating.
Of course.
So
conflict of interest.
Absolutely. Mm. So I'm reading from that. Listen to this. When Prince Harry was caught sucking his thumb on the cricket pitch recently, the reaction was instant and unpleasant. He became the butt of jokes and peer scorn. The 10-year-old Royal had been so busy sucking his thumb that he missed both the ball and a chance to beat Big Brother William's side. Annoyed teammates immediately coined a new nickname for Harry, Thumbelina. I'm thinking, yeah, kids can be cruel, can't they? Thumbelina, that's a beauty. They would have been very happy with that. They would have gone, oh, nicely done. Well done. Give yourself a pat in the back.
I believe Uday Hussein's schoolmates call him Thumbelina.
Absolutely.
But he's got a unique way of getting back at them, so that doesn't happen anymore.
You're so right, Timo. You're so right. But it got me thinking, if Harry was ever to be crowned King of England, he'd be Thumbelina the first, wouldn't he? Do you think?
I think so.
I can't remember too many other Thumbelinas. I'll have a guess and say he wasn't the one with eight wives. You know what I mean? Imagine that. If royal titles were handed out according to the nicknames kids gave them at school. You know, I'd like to see that at a coronation. Arise, King Poopy Pants. Oh, look, here comes King Fatty Boombar the Third, and he's with Queen Farty Breath. And have you met the heir to the throne, Prince Pixie's Nose and Eats It? Anyway, just a thought to go on with. But listen, the article goes on. Leading family psychologist Dr. John Irvine says, thumb-sucking at Harry's age certainly suggests that he's a little bit anxious or uptight and that he hasn't been taught more mature and appropriate ways to deal with his feelings. Now, Tone, who's he going to learn that from? The woman in the next room with a garden hose up the poop chute encouraging the English rugby captain to siphon like there's no tomorrow? I mean, his mum's a nut. The old man's too busy pursuing his interest in becoming a tampon. He knows he's from the same gene pool as Prince Edward. Give the guy a break. Let him suck his thumb. Oh, Prince Edward, folks. Now there's your Thumbelina.
Yes.
I'm not getting it wrong about Uday Hussein, am I, Mick?
No.
The guy's a nut bar.
Yeah, he's gone off.
This is Saddam Hussein's son. Or is he his complete son. It's a very complicated family tree.
There's varying degrees.
But apparently he's taken a pot shot at Saddam Hussein's half-brother Watburn, and in the process has killed Watburn's wife, his son, and three of his guards, and then Watburn himself is carked it 5 days later.
I think they showed it on Iraqi's Funniest Home Video Show.
I want to see the Husseins on Family Feud. Oh, I think that'd get the ratings up for Seven.
That could be a very short episode.
And I want to see more news about Uday, because I think we were talking about his band, Uday and the Blowfish.
Oh, dear, that'll make the best.
We were talking about that earlier in the week, and I want more Uday news. So if you've got any Uday updates, please don't hesitate to fax us to them, or fax them to us.
That'd be better.
I better read the instruction book for this show before I do it, hadn't I? The fax number here is 1-800-816-679.
From the incredible mind of Stephen King comes his latest terrifying thriller.
Darling, that was the most amazing dinner. I've had such a good time.
Ooh, what was that?
Nothing, darling.
I thought I saw someone.
No, you're just being silly.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what came over me.
You think you're safe. You begin the time. But then it happens.
Look, I just think we should pay the bill. Come on, let's go. I've just got a bad feeling.
She comes for you, alone, with her basket of horror.
Okay, let's...
Excuse me, sir, would you like to buy a flower?
No!
The flower seller. She's coming to dinner, and you're on the menu.
I'd like to propose a toast.
Terry, don't move.
What?
Whatever you do, promise me, don't look back. What? Terry,
Excuse me, sir. Would you like to buy a flower?
Mother of God, make it go away. Oh, God, make it go away.
She's uninvited. She rudely interrupts. She'll suck the money right out of your pockets. Tara has a new name.
Please, baby, go. Save yourself. The door. Excuse me, sir, would you like to buy a flower? Try the window! Excuse me, sir, would you like to buy a flower?
They're everywhere!
Excuse me, sir, would you like to buy a flower?
Oh, what manner of evil is this?
Stephen King's The Flower Seller. She loves you. She loves you not.
That's Meatloaf, or is it Stephen King's Meatloaf? You be the judge. Took the words right out of my mouth here on Martin Malloy. And as we mentioned earlier, Paul Hest is coming in the next hour, plus Radio Gladiator's on the way. But listen to this for a pretty darn interesting story I found in the paper this morning, Mick. The man currently providing the voice for Disney's Mickey Mouse almost quit during production of the new Mickey cartoon, Runaway Brain. Wayne Allwine, who's done the talking for Mickey since 1987, was having marital problems at the time of the recording and says it was difficult to muster up Mickey's trademark happiness and enthusiasm. And it's true, you know, and in fact, a bit of an exclusive here. We actually have a hidden mic recording of Wayne and his wife at home during one of their more recent domestics.
Wayne, I've had enough. You're just too distant and moody these days. What is it? We've got to talk.
I'm through with talking. The problem is you just don't take me seriously anymore.
But Wayne, you're never here. You're always out on the town with your animator buddies.
And why do you suppose that is? It's you. You don't understand me. What about my needs? What's happened to us?
You tell me. Look what I found in our bed this afternoon. Oh. Mouse ears.
Well, I can explain.
Oh, you've had one of your mouse-ear floozies round here, haven't you?
Well, what if I have? She doesn't make fun of me, accuse me of having a Mickey Mouse job.
Hang on. Who's this in the closet?
I've never seen her before in my life.
He's not lying.
Aren't you that tramp who does the voice of Minnie?
No.
You disgust me, Wayne.
Ow! Stop hitting me!
We're finished, you hear? I want you out of here now. And take all that f***ing cheese with you.
Dion Farris, I know, here on Martin Malloy, where, of course, it's time to play
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
And
today's challenge is yesterday's challenge, because we had so many calls about the silly noises yesterday, we had to turn people away. And if you weren't listening, what we did is, because Michael Winslow was in here, the master of the silly noises, we asked people to call up with their own sort of Winslow-style gear, and we just had bloody hundreds of people.
We had guys fishing, we had... what else do we have? We had some beauties.
Yeah, we had a pretty impressive combi van, if I remember. That was the winner. But in order to show you what we're talking about, we'd like to welcome a bloke now. He's the big man of Australian comedy, and he's a master of silly noises himself. Haskell Daniel, are you there?
Hey, how are you?
Not bad. Welcome to Radio Gladiators.
Thank you. And Radio Gladiators, talking about that, television gladiators, right? Now, I've been watching that, and, like, they've got this thing called the Gauntlet, where they've got 10 gladiators in the middle of a tunnel stopping this 80-kilogram wimp getting from one side to the other side.
Oh, yeah, it's scary.
Oh, yeah, like, that's not really a challenge. I reckon, like, I'm 130 kilos, right? Now, put 10 of these guys out the front of McDonald's, give me 5 free Big Mac vouchers, and if they stop me from getting through those front doors, I'll call them gladiators.
Haskell, what would your gladiator name be? Tubby? Deputy Prime Minister?
Absorber. Absorber the... I'm not really Greek, but there you go.
Well, I hope the people at Channel 7 are listening. Now, we want some examples of silly noises. Can you give us a couple?
Okay, yeah, I'll give you some Australian culture. Here's a didgeridoo.
That's very good, and all done with your own body.
Oh, body. That's a lot of air. Let me tell you, 130 kilos worth.
Your body is your instrument. Now, what else have you got for us?
Okay, an old television show that's being brought back to air, The Professionals, and it's a wah pedal for the musicians out there. It's like this.
Oh, that's great. Now, just go out and drive your car through a plate glass window and the effect will be complete. Very nice. Now, one more to finish with.
One more. This is for all the homies out there. A bit of rap music. Go!
Thank you very much, MC Haskell.
Not a problem.
And just before you go, have you got something to plug?
Well, I've got a couple of gigs coming up in Sydney, and I'm also at the Armidale Hotel this Monday night in Melbourne.
Oh, good on you, Haskell. Thanks for helping us out today.
Thank you very much.
Good on you, Haskell.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks, Mick.
Okay, and now let's get to the business
that's
end of
set
things.
Set the standard, I fear.
Yeah, that's
anything
right.
Approaching that, you've bagged yourself all that cornucopia of prizes you keep rambling on about.
Oh, I should point out, it doesn't have to be that good.
No.
You don't have to be a Haskell Daniel. It's just...
That'll kind of defeat the purpose.
We just want some valiant attempts. That's what we're chasing.
We're just happy to laugh at you.
Indeed. And the prize is... Oh, the three-pack of CDs. The three-pack, which has got the whole country talking. And I believe, listen to this, hot off the internet... The American rap singer Tupac Shakur is changing his name to Three-Pack Shakur.
Did you hear that?
In honour of the prize.
You know, after the success of VP Day, we're now going to have CD Day, where everyone gets out and marches and you know, just gives their support to the three-pack of CDs.
And then somebody like Jeffrey Kennett would unveil a bust of just a bronze three-pack.
Oh, lest we forget.
Indeed. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, because there's also $200 smackaroos, dare I say, cash. In there as well. Call now with your silly noises. 1-800-657-657. Let's just crank things right up. I want to hear silly noises, Mick. This is Radio Gladiators, and silly noises is the order of the day. Who have you got for us?
We've got Emma on the line. G'day, Emma.
Hi.
Yeah, the mistress of the silly noise. What are you performing for us today?
Well, this is a real man catcher, I feel.
A man catcher?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm all ears. What are you doing?
Okay, I'm going to do a baby pig.
Okay.
But I've got to put the phone down because, as I said before, I need both hands.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yep.
I think you've broken every window in the studio, Emma.
I'd like to see that performed live sometime, Emma.
It
Congratulations.
Is
yeah, we'll make a bit of a date off here, Mickey. But next up, we've got Robbie. Robbie, what have you got for us?
I'm doing a tropical bird getting hit by a stone.
Yeah, sounds excellent. Well, clear the decks, please. And welcome to centre stage, Robbie, with tropical bird getting hit by rock.
Okay.
Mm.
Yeah.
Ha ha ha!
What was the last bit again, Robbie? Ah, yes, just wanted to make sure I heard it. That's excellent. Have we got Michael there? Michael?
Yep.
What's your noise?
Oh, this is excellent. Ready, wait, this.
Yeah, I don't know about this, Mick. What do you think?
Yeah, not bad, but welcome to the big league. Have a listen to this. Give us a call. Give us a call when you've worked something out like
that.
Thanks, Michael.
Oh, yeah, so Mick Molloy was doing that all just using his own body. It's very impressive bit of work. You've got to see it sometime. Next up, who have we got, Mickey?
We've got Alicia. Hello, Alicia.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good, thank you.
Now, what are you performing for us?
I've got another pig.
Beauty.
Mine's a little older.
A little older. Yeah. A mature pig. Good.
Are you ready?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, hold on. I've got to put the phone down too.
Okay. That's very impressive. You haven't got a pig there with you helping, have you, Alicia?
No, my boyfriend's just stepped out.
Okay. Sorry we don't have a drum cymbal for you there, but good on you. Who have we got next?
Maybe our next vocal impressionist can do a drum cymbal. We've got Michael on the line. G'day, Michael.
Hi, how you going?
Good. What are you doing?
A donkey.
Go for it. Michael, I'm impressed because you know what? You didn't have to put the phone down.
I'm on a mobile phone at the moment.
Oh, my God. Yeah. How are they taking that in traffic?
Oh, I'm just in the side street at the moment. I had to park because I couldn't do it.
Yeah. It sounded strangely like the bloke doing the heavy breathing, I have to say.
You want me to do it again then?
Imagine seeing that car parked by the side of the road and walking past and just hearing that noise.
Yeah. I have a feeling that bloke was wearing tracksuit pants, I have to say. I think we've got time for one more. Is Mark there, Mark?
Yes, I am. How are you, mate?
Not bad. What are you doing for us?
Donald Duck sneezing.
Oh, okay. Let's hear that. Oh, yes. That's very impressive. Is that our winner, do you think, Mickey?
No, it's not, Tony. Our winner today is Robbie with Tropical Bird getting hit by rock.
Oh, okay. You're a bit of a conceptual one. Are you there still, Robbie? Robbie?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you'd been hit by a rock for a moment there. You've won the 3-pack of CDs and the 200 smackaroos.
Whoa.
Is that you, Robbie?
Me.
Rob, what's your name? Do just out of interest, do the tropical bird getting hit by a rock for us.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I just rang up on a public phone. No.
You're doing your impression of a radio caller to a radio station. Am I on?
I've got a honky noise. That's a bicycle one.
Okay.
Okay, listening. It's doing this with my mouth, by the way. I can't believe we just did this.
Yeah, we can't either. We'd actually awarded the prize. It's not you, I'm afraid, my friend. What's your name, anyway?
Robbie.
Hey, Robbie, just have a look behind you. Is there a bloke doing a rock sort of noise there somewhere?
No.
He's scarpered, I think,
He's
Mickey.
Gone.
Well, if you are listening still, Robbie, and thanks, by the way, for the horn. That was very good. But if Robbie's still listening out there, if he can call us up and we'll be happy to perform the three-pack ceremony just off air for him. So that's been another shambolic edition of Radio Gladiators, just the way we like it. We'll be back again tomorrow with a more sensible challenge, I think, but stick around, people, if you can. After 6, we'll be on for a yak with Paul Hester. It's the second hour of Martin Molloy, and time to welcome a bloke who, well, he's attached to this program by a bungee cord. We just can't keep him away. It's Paul Hester. Paul, welcome back.
Thank you.
Now, just before we get to business, and when I say business, we're talking shed business. I believe you were another of the many people who are attached to this program who've been snubbed by Andrew Denton's Best Off program.
Well, yeah, I did happen to catch it the other night, a bit of a channel surf there late at night. I accidentally stumbled onto Andrew's show, you know, as you do. He never really planned to watch it.
Yeah, they keep it moving, too.
Yeah, yeah. Keep you guessing. And I sort of thought about you, and I thought about you, and I thought about me, and I thought, gee, where are we? We're not there, you know. And then when you do the show, Andrew's all over you. He's in your band room, in your room before you go on. They're great shoes. Gee, that's a good haircut. God, I wish I looked like you, Paul. Well, you know, it's great stuff. It's so good to have you on the show. But people like you, the quality, the structure, the, you know, and then the special, you know, nothing.
Nothing.
Do you know what it's like? You know what it's like? It reminds me, it's rewriting history. It's being edited out of something that's happened. It's like the burning of the books. It's like history according to Denton. And I'm telling you what, we've paid the price. We're the victors.
And what exactly did you do on the show, Paul, that might qualify as best of material?
Oh, geez, I forgot a few of the... I didn't know what I was there for. I just I almost cried.
Well, that's a special in itself,
you know,
isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I thought I had some emotion. I was giving a bit of, you know... G-U-T apostrophe S.
Well, it's good to see. And I'll tell you what I did on the show. I stabbed Tim Shaw, the Demtel man, with a sword.
Well, if that's not a program in itself, I don't know what is.
And that didn't make it. And,
no.
And what did you do, Mick?
Oh, I just made a total dick of myself, as per you.
And I think you got written up in the Bulletin as such, didn't you? Didn't the Bulletin just go to town?
Well, they went me. But you know what that was? You know who was behind that?
Who?
Reg Grundy. You know why? Because I refuse to do his soaps. He rings up all the time, and I just go, nah, not doing it. And then he's got me back.
Well, enough of
the Bulletin.
Enough of the show business butchery. We want to hear about this shed of yours, Paul Hester. Every time you come on, there's a bit more work being done on the shed.
Work,
is it complete yet? We've had a lot of letters.
Well, we're talking structure. We're talking form, shape, structure. The backyard has happened. There's been something that's happened in the backyard that should have happened years ago. I'm about to go into it. The black hole, the abyss that men pass into later in life. I've got my jars ready. I've got screws loose. I'm looking for a little couch and a lie down.
Is it taking form? Is it shed-like yet, or is it still embryonic?
We've gone for the 50 shape. You know, I've got that sort of big front thing. I've got a nice 50 steel frame window, an old door I bought today for $30.
Oh, yeah.
Knocked the woman down from 35.
Good.
Right, you know, single mum, two kids. Knocked her down. Fantastic. Yeah.
You're not going to go old and sour in this, are you? This isn't going to be your Kubla Khan, is it? You know, you're not going to be sitting there and a pudgy old guy dropping the glass thing going, Rosebud.
Yeah, looking at all my stuff. Yeah, all my old crowdy stuff, you know. Oh, look, there's an old sock of Neil's. Oh, shit. Oh, Neil.
And what's going to go in the shed? I mean, we've talked shed. We've talked shed for weeks on the program.
Yeah.
People want to know, what's going to be in the shed?
Well, primarily me. I think I'll be in there. My girlfriend's been pointing at it rather enthusiastically. Go on. In you go. Sit. That's it. Like it. Good. No. Eat. Sit.
Right.
I'm going to stay there. I think I'm going to have a pot belly in the corner and have a little day bed. I've got a workbench and I've got some shelving and I think I'm going to go and leave the exposed beams and the galvo.
Yeah,
I think I'll leave that.
Are you going to have a big kind of glamorous opening? Is it going to be a real black tie? You know, we're not going to be asked from that like we were asked from the Denton program, are we? Are we on the list?
Well, no, it's quite high up. There's a big step up to it.
Right. Yeah.
So I can imagine us all standing on the step and... you know, looking out there.
Well, Australians are getting taller. Here's something interesting I read in the paper today, and it was obviously a slow news day. Australians getting taller, claims poll of tall blokes.
I know about that. I happen to know about the Basketball Australia has a secret sperm bank donation scheme going, which is a sponsorship deal with the basketballers.
Is it legal?
A lot of tall sperm going in there these days.
Right.
A lot. You know what I'm saying? Your percentages are up. A lot of tall kiddies.
So what you're saying is that we need people with short sperm to pop down the clinic and just balance things up.
You need to get your Andrew Dentons in there right away.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
And you know Andrew's a bit selfish like that.
He is, he is. Now, I can see we've almost reached the intellectual peak of the program.
Absolutely.
But we're not finished yet because we want to talk about this newfangled cable TV and nobody knows more about it than Paul Hester. We'll be back to talk more with him in just a moment on Martin Malloy. Yes. You two, with or without you, here on Martin Malloy with Paul Hester. He's joined us on the panel, and we've been fascinated by cable TV and pay TV since it started, but nobody on the show has really bothered to give it a good geek. So, Paul, you've checked it out. What do you make of it?
Well, there's lots on. There's lots on. There's always lots on.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like to watch. I sit at home. I don't do much. I watch the telly. I like the sport. I was talking to Mick about the sport. lot of netball, Mick.
We were just saying that, you know, we'd go cable because you get netball.
Yeah.
And it's uninterrupted netball.
Yeah.
Like, you can watch it.
No ads.
And you can probably watch it back-to-back with women's tennis.
Oh, that's bloody heaven.
I mean, no one else gives you that opportunity.
Don't take us the wrong way, because I actually like the netball. It's good.
True.
It's good. And the women's netball, they're the champs of the world. And they come back here and they sort of like, oh, yeah, you know.
Page 67. In a kind of odd spot fashion, you might get a passing reference.
Nothing. No. Like the Denton thing, once again, nothing. Are there netballers on his show? No. What are they?
Nothing.
They're world champions.
They're world champions.
Kevin Postner.
Where was their ticker tape parade? Where was their ticker tape parade?
Exactly.
I ask you.
Now, let me get this right. You're saying that there's a netball channel on cable?
Well, no. It's on the sports network, along with the boxing and the things where you throw the things down the ice. The big
If you wanted to watch netball on commercial television, you'd have to try and squeeze it into, I don't know, weirdest television a show, or, you know, have to have someone injure themselves or something. They won't just cover it, but cable will. Cable will go for anything. Nothing's too weird, nothing's too wild, and they don't have to say it's the wildest, weirdest, wackiest TV.
No,
because
it's taken as red.
Now, what else? Okay, aside from netball, what am I going to get for my pay TV dollar?
Well, you're going to get, you know, the fantastic thing. You're not going to get any of the Ian Terps Terpies. You're not going to get any of the miserable whinging Rays. You're not going to get any of the awful Channel 10 lot. Yeah. Whoever they are. No, ain't no royalty, no loyalty.
You're not going to get
any of those whackers.
Is it better than Sky TV? Because I remember Sky TV, as far as I could tell, was just a lot of women mud wrestling with, in between, there was a bit of Ray Burgess. And is that the kind of thing you're looking at on your Galaxies, on your Optus Vision, on your Foxtel?
The advantage with Galaxies, you can sit at home privately and do that. Mm-hmm. Whereas with the Sky thing, you've got to do that with the blokes.
Oh, you've got to go down
in a room with blokes.
Yeah,
a lot of blokes, strange blokes, smelly blokes, big blokes, small blokes.
It ruins the mood.
Yeah.
And are there cable pay TV personalities emerging? Is there a Ray? Is there a Yana? Is there a Terps? Is there an India on pay TV?
Unfortunately, the music channel is the only channel that chooses to push this line.
Is that right? Yeah.
They're just suffering glamorously with these little turds trying to make them stars.
Some would-be rock brains hopeless. Of the
they
universe.
They know nothing. The guy, what's his name? Notter, or I don't know, Blacko. Who cares? Who cares what his name is? He's hopeless, doesn't know nothing from nothing, doesn't know anything about music.
Well, he's got a future then in the music business.
There's a girl.
Oh, is there?
Hopeless.
Surprise.
Hopeless. They're both hopeless. That's
Nikki Hopeless, the host of the Hopeless Channel on Hopeless TV.
You look back and you think Donny Sutherland was very good.
Well, I think we've really presented a fantastic insight into pay TV today, gentlemen. I think we should really give ourselves a pat on the back because I think people are wavering if they're not sure whether to go forward with it.
Is that enough? A pat on the back?
I think we've helped them tip the scale there.
And when I think Denton's obviously back in the editing room now trying to find the bits of us to put back in his special. That's how good this stuff's been for them. And obviously, Paul, would you like to come back in a few weeks and give us an update on the shed? Because I know our listeners are on the edge of their seats.
Well, I would. There's something, the mail thing, you know, the hidden message thing we should, you know, try and get to with the shed. So if you could perhaps come down and we could open it with the builder on site, but you know, keep it quiet because it's an illegal building. You know, don't tell anyone.
Now he tells us. Okay, well, thanks. We've been talking to Paul Hester here on Martin Malloy. Yes. Thanks to our guests today, Paul Hester, Haskell Daniel, and the enigmatic John Howard, and of course, all our radio gladiators. Tomorrow we'll be joined yet again by Judith Lucy. But until then, remember, intelligent, come talk to us.
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with Half-Baked Ideas and Ill-Conceived Concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital. Pete Smith speaking.